Enjoying yourself. I am Mr. Lobo with us. We're going to take calls with him this hour as well. Questions, and also share with us your sci-fi stories, your horror film stories. He knows all about it, and that'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Mr. Lobo with us. We'll get to your calls too. How about some of your favorite directors, sci-fi directors out there? Who might they be, Mr. Lobo?
Oh, there. Of course, there are many, but I think my one of my very favorites is Jack Arnold. He made The Creature from the Black Lagoon, and The Revenge of the Creature. He made It Came from Outer Space. He made Incredible Shrinking Man, which is an underappreciated classic. He made just on and on and on. The guy just ruled the 50s with some amazing films.
Black and white, mostly, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And, you know, he did something that they don't really know how to do anymore, and that's build atmosphere. You know, he created atmosphere.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really able, you know, the sort of outside of the 50s, he wasn't really able to really recapture that magic that he was able to do in that decade. But he did direct TV for years, Peter Gunn and Wonder Woman and, you know, Gilligan's Island and every other show.
He did it all.
For decades he directed.
I saw a couple weeks ago, late night television, I'm in a different city, so it's late, and I saw a John Wayne Western movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, he was in a lot of them, and it was a big star there. But he would not make it today. He would, you know, those kinds of movies today would fall flat on their face, wouldn't they?
Yeah, Westerns? You know, I mean, most movies, I think, would fall flat on their face today. You know, I mean, I there are people who are trying to bring back the Western in a big way, and, you know, maybe there'll be another John Wayne. Again, it's usually, you know, I mean, I don't know if Hollywood creates the trends. I think Hollywood follows the trends, you know. I mean, it's basically... you know, as we change, the movies change.
Do you find that the people who watch your work, are they older folks who remember the genre, or are you getting some younger people now?
I'm getting younger people now. I used to get crayon drawings from 49-year-olds, but now I'm finally getting them from the 9-year-olds. And I think that the two best people in the world are the old and the young, because the people who are in middle age, they don't know that everything's all BS yet. But I think that the people, the young people, they're getting into it and they're learning about it and they're hungry. And I think that it's something new for them, and it's a good entry level, this kind of show where you've got jokes and fun and a host. And, you know, I get that letter all the time. It's like, I could never make it through this movie. You know, I turn it off after 5 minutes, but because it was on your program, I was able to stay with it and finally watch this whole movie. And you know what? Now I kind of like black and white movies, and now I want to see other movies. And,
that's great.
You know, so there's that entry level on the one end, and then on the other end is the old seasoned pro who's already seen the movie 30, 40 times, and it's just one more reason to watch it again. It's like, oh, okay, Mr. Lobo's got a special guest, or okay, well, this bit is funny. I want to see how it plays out. So, you know, I mean, I think it's Hamburger Helper, and I think that there are people who enjoy it on the expert level and the amateur level.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. Let's go to first-time caller Mark in Arlington, Texas, to get started here. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hello there, Mr. Lobo.
Greetings, Commander Mark.
I'm going to have to guess that you took your name from the great classic Bride of the Monster with Ed Wood directing the thing. Am I right or wrong?
You are wrong, because Lobo is my natural-born last name.
How about that?
But Ford Johnson was Lobo in two films. He was in Night of the Ghouls and Bride of the Monster, both
Ed's right
films.
You and I could sit down here Lobo and talk for a whole night and day, because I've been enamored with this stuff since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And I was not aware of your show at all in any way, shape, or form, but I come from that era where they put the shock package out of the classic Universal films back then in the mid-60s. And I lived in Florida then, and you know the whole bit.
M.T. Graves was probably your host, maybe.
No, it was a Shock Armstrong. The All-American.
Armstrong. Well, there's that's one on me. I don't know that. I don't know Shock Armstrong.
Oh, it was Friday nights in Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
WTVT, I think it is. And yeah, and that went on for quite some time. You can find out all about it. You know, it's no secret anymore with the web and all that.
They're very easy to find, indeed. And did most cities, Mr. Lobo, have their own local talent, like Detroit did, for example, with Morgus?
Yes, it was a national phenomenon that happened locally, or a local phenomenon that happened nationally. A lot of the shock package, which the caller talked about, was basically Screen Gems had licensed Universal's films for television. And a lot of TV stations got this package of films, and it was 56 movies, I think.
And they didn't know what to do with it.
A lot of us were watching the same movies, but they had different wraparounds. Some cities just had bumpers where they would just have spooky music, and maybe they'd show a castle, but maybe they wouldn't have a host. They just had wraparounds or bumpers for the films. And some had hosts, and some just threw it up at 3 a.m. with no fanfare at all. There were people across the country. Of course, there was Goulardi in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
There was Vampira on the West Coast, and there was Zachary on the East Coast, and a million others.
And then Elvira, she was in the mix, wasn't she?
Elvira was the first to go national in the 80s. She was from KTLA in the Los Angeles market, and then she, because of Pepsi and Coors, she was able to expand into syndication.
Now, are you getting any advertising, or is it strictly just Roku work?
We do have advertising. I don't have Pepsi or Coors. I mean, most of the people that I work with are fairly smaller than that. People who sell collectibles and people who sell different organization T-shirts, stuff like that, we had Pine Brothers Throat Drops as a sponsor for a long time.
Huh.
And, just a very revolving door of people who want to give Mr. Lobo money.
Well, you keep this fun, and I guarantee you it'll keep you young, too.
I agree, because all the people I went to high school with look 30 years older than I do.
You know what? It's the same with me. Same exact thing. Most of them are, you know, at retirement age, and they're just calling it quits. Not me. I think working keeps you alive, and it keeps you young.
I agree 100%. I mean, you know, you have to do what you love and love what you do.
We go next to Mike in Mount Olive, Kentucky, on the wild card line. Mike, you're on with Mr. Lobo. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Mike.
Greetings.
Perfect timing, too.
Super. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. I've always been a big fan of the old movies. And last year, I bought a movie called Teenagers from Outer Space. And it's a heartwarming story about a young boy from outer space. He falls in love with a teenage Earth girl. And her grandpa is a dead ringer for a fellow that I know at work. 65 years later.
Just like it. Unbelievable.
It's a classic movie. They're wearing like workman's jumpsuits with electrical tape on them, and that's the spacesuits. And then they, they've got the toy ray gun from the store as the ray gun in the movie. And yeah, it's a misunderstood film, as we like to say on cinema.
What was the name of the sci-fi movie? It was relatively not too long ago, but it was not too early either. But mm-hmm. it was in color, and a couple kids somehow stumbled into a spacecraft or something, and they were with a couple aliens that were chubby looking and had antenna, and they turned out to be kids, and the father of the two aliens was like some huge thing, but I can't remember the name of that movie.
Not too long ago. Is it? It's not Explorers. I don't know.
It was really a strange movie where the kids interacted with the two little alien kids, but they didn't think they were kids. They were acted as if they were adults. But, I mean, they were really chubby-looking aliens with green faces, and they had antenna, and they were almost like cartoon-like characters. And but I can't remember.
I'm usually pretty good with that, but I want to say Explorers, but I don't know.
I've got to find that. And then there was another one where who's the kid who played in Doobie Howser?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and he was in a movie where some strange creatures lived under his bed. They lived under his bed, and he was able to get underneath his bed and go down to where they were. And they were weird looking characters too. I don't know. Do you remember that one?
Wow, no, boy, George.
I'm stumping
some ones that are. You've stumped the master.
I'm stumping.
Tell you got two for two.
I think it was called good. Little Something or something like that.
Neil Patrick Harris was in Starship Troopers famously, and you know what you're describing kind of reminds me of the remake of Invaders from Mars a little bit, but I have no idea.
All right, let's go to Dave in Ohio. Hey, David, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, do you remember the Night Stalker?
Yes.
With Darren McGavin?
Playing the part of Kolchak.
Yeah.
Wonderful TV series.
I know. With your tongue-in-cheek humor, when you said you were Mr. Lobo, I thought you were referring to Sheriff Lobo, or that's where you got Claude Akins.
Akins, yes, from BJ and the Bear, and then they
right.
gave his own show.
That was a hilarious show. I'm sorry it got knocked off too early. But back to Kolchak, did you like the old one better than the more recent one back in like 2004, 2005? I thought that one was just a little too dark, or they just tried to make it.
Oh, nothing beats the original Night Stalker. I mean, really.
Kolchak. Yeah, those episodes really scared me when I was a little kid. Especially the one that
wasn't there one where it was like almost like the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, only with a motorcycle, headless motorcycle rider instead of a headless horse.
Well, the Spanish Moss one got me. Paramalfay was going to get you if you do something wrong and stuff like that.
I think X-Files owes a great debt to that show. I think they pretty much use that as the template for the X-Files.
Yeah, Supernatural kind of reminds me of that, but I like to give a more reluctant hero. Like Darren McGavin was. He wasn't your, John Wayne type guy. He was.
Yeah, that's why I like Doctor Who also, because he just kind of stumbled through things and he just sort of, he made his own way and he wasn't firing guns or beating his chest. He was using his.
He found a way to take care of the evil things, yep.
Okay, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. What did you think of the movie, The E.T.? Wasn't that a classic?
E.T., yeah, made me cry. My wife hates it. She thinks E.T. is she just thinks he's gross. Just wants him to be exterminated.
No way!
Yeah, she gets angry. She hates E.T., which is bizarre. I think everyone I know cried like a baby when they saw that movie.
What did you think of the movie Mars Attacks? I think that was too hokey.
I liked it. I actually liked it. I wish it had the writing was a little bit smarter, like if it was a little bit more toward Dr. Strangelove, I think that's where they wanted to go. They just didn't get there.
Star Trek, the original TV show?
Original TV show is amazing. It still plays very well. You know, I don't even think they needed to do the digital updates. I think that show is just, perfect. One of the most perfect TV shows. And colorful. I remember Space 1999 was on at the same time when I was a kid. I watched Space 1999. Those were brand new, but Star Trek seemed newer because it was so colorful and bright and crisp. And Space 1999 was murky and brown in 1970s. So I always thought that Star Trek was newer than Space 1999.
You love doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. Why not?
You know. You have to. Let's go to Sally in Bismarck, North Dakota. Hey, Sally, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, hi, George.
Hello, Sally.
You know,
Sally.
I called you, this is probably about my third call.
Well, great.
And love your show.
Well,
and, George, I love you and all of your guests that you have on. It's so informative and, yeah, I just love it.
Punctual and tall.
I want to say that earlier you were talking about George Noy for Kids on an art website.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to know more about that.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, but I'll tell you about that later on. That's,
okay.
That's our support of Children's International.
Okay. Well, but then the other thing that I wanted to say is, George, you are such a Rod Sterling fan.
I loved Rod Sterling. I still do.
Oh, my God, I know you did. And you know every show.
Well, I don't remember every show, but I watched all of them.
You do seem to. And I'm wondering if there would ever come a day when you would like to pick up where Rod Sterling left off and just do another series.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that. I couldn't write the way he did.
Well, you might be surprised.
That's not a bad... What do you think of that, Mr. Lobo? Me is Rod Sterling.
Huh? You've got spectral narrator all over you. I could see you doing an anthology series. You're standing there in the fog and stepping out there and just your mustache cutting through the fog.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And then coming in there and going a deliriously demented dimension.
The one movie I was thinking about was called Little Monsters with Fred Savage.
Little Monsters. It was Fred Savage, so it wasn't Neil Patrick Harris. That's where I got
So Fred Savage wasn't Doobie Howser, was he?
No, Fred Savage was on The Wonder Years.
Okay, that's where I screwed you up.
But now I got the full picture. Little Monsters is correct. Yes. And what was the other movie? Was it Explorers?
I can't find that yet. But Howie Mandel was in that movie, Little Monsters.
Yeah, Howie Mandel was popular before he's still popular, but he's bald and germophobic now.
He is. He is. He won't shake hands with people. He knuckle punches people.
He looks like a real estate magician. I don't know. That's what he looks like right now.
Well, let's say we're going to take a break, come back with final calls, but give out your website and where people can watch you on television.
OSI74 is where you can watch me. OSI74.com.
That's it. That's simple enough. OSI74.com. We've got that linked up for everybody at coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, where we send out information almost all the time. And we
keep
still
watching
get
the sky.
Oh, I love that. All right, stay with us with Mr. Lobo. We'll take final calls before open lines next hour. Hey, I'm going to be on Alex Jones's show tomorrow at 10 o'clock Central Time in the morning. You can get full information at Infowars.com. And here's something else I want you to circle. Come from anywhere this time. You know, I originally was saying if you're in St. Louis or Illinois, now I'm inviting the entire planet to come to St. Louis on June 18th for my live stage show, including UFO expert Stanton Friedman, rock historian R. Gary Patterson, a couple folks from our affiliate there, 97.1 FM, as we talk about ghosts and some other great things, and some stuff I'm going to be singing there, too. That is well worth the price of the ticket, I'm sure. Nah, I'm kidding. But you can go to that full information at coasttocoastam.com. Look at the highlight reel where it just says, George coming home to St. Louis. And come on out there. The theater, I'm told, fills 1,200 people, and the tickets are starting to go quickly. So come on, from all over the planet. And we're going to do a meet and greet after that. And who knows? Maybe we'll all go out someplace after that. That might be fun. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Mr. Lobo with us. I've got to tell you, Mr. Lobo, our listeners are the greatest, smartest people. I merely...
Hold on, before you say anything, is your movie Aliens in the Attic?
No, it's called...
Oh,
you mean the other one? It's called, because so many people have sent me emails.
Right.
That's what's so great about this audience. You ask a question, and they've got
sure.
the answer for you. The
people
movie was...
Resource.
Are you ready? Drum roll?
I'm so ready. I'm so ready, George.
Give me a drum roll. The movie is called Explorers.
Oh, Explorers. Well, that's what I said. Explorers.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, rewind the tape. I said Explorers.
All right, I'm going to rewind it, because if you did say that, you win the prize.
Fantastic, fantastic.
That would be cool.
I want a sandwich.
A turkey sandwich, perhaps?
Oh, Reuben, I think.
Oh, Reubens are great. A little sauerkraut and that special sauce.
Absolutely.
Not bad. Hey, well, you and I should do a cooking show together.
Yes, it could be a spooky cooking show.
Hey, I got to tell you, on April 1st, a couple of years ago, I announced that we were changing the name of the show from Coast to Coast to Toast to Toast, and it was going to be a cooking show.
Cooking with George.
And people went ballistic. Absolutely ballistic.
You'd think that if they had the calendar handy, they would have figured that one out.
I love it. So how often are you on the air?
Well, it's a weekly show, so I put up a new one every week. To be honest, though, I have quite a library of shows, so I make new ones here and there, and I've got hundreds of shows that we rotate, and some that have never seen the light of day.
That you can repeat on the radio. What has been the funniest thing you've ever done on the air?
The funniest thing that I've ever done on the air? Oh boy!
Anything ever go wrong?
There's quite a few. I mean, I think when we interviewed Bigfoot's prom date and Bigfoot's hairdresser, and we had a whole exploration of Bigfoot on Cinema Insomnia. And Mr. Lobo did the Citizen Kane of Bigfoot documentaries, where I talked to Bigfoot's college roommate and Bigfoot's prom date and Bigfoot's hairstylist and Bigfoot's fifth grade teacher. And we just had a lot of fun with that. I mean, that's not a joke per se, but it was very exhaustive. We went all over the place filming in different locations, and it was a pretty
impressive. All right, back to final calls. Let us go to Elaine in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Elaine. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, you guys.
Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Elaine.
Thank you. I'm exactly the same age as you, George.
Well, happy birthday to come, I guess.
I know.
29 years.
So when I was 10 years old in 1960, I used to watch this show called The Dungeon.
The Dungeon.
And The Dungeon. And it at the age of 10 back then, I think it was only in black and white then and whatever. It did scare the heck out of me.
Was that a local show?
Well, I live in Florida. And okay. No, I don't.
I think M.T. Graves was the host of that.
Yes.
M.T. Graves?
Yes, I've heard you say that before. I thought that's who it was.
M.T. Graves was trapped in a dungeon at the bottom of the TV studio, and he tried to get out every episode. And then he would show horror movies while he was stuck in the...
And that was locally produced, Mr. Lobo?
Locally produced, M.T. Graves. And he also did a kid's show where he hosted cartoons as M.T. Space.
But, oh, God, no, I never saw that. But he scared me in the dungeon. I can still picture his face. And as a 10-year-old, probably now I'd laugh at it. But, you know, it was very...
Oh, yeah, well, when you're a kid, it's real, man.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember the actor who was M.T. Graves. I want to say Charlie Adler, but that's not right. But
I don't know, but I can still picture his face.
He was marvelous. He had these goofy teeth. He was kind of like Morgus in a lot of ways, where he had the goofy teeth, affected
him. He had the teeth.
Charlie Baxter. M.T. Graves was Charlie Baxter. And he had a kind of a brow, kind of a thick... like Bert and Ernie, like very thick eyebrows and creepy teeth.
Yeah, he was like a wolfman looking guy, wasn't he?
Very strange. Yeah, he had dark around the eyes and wild hair and bushy eyebrows, but he didn't have hair on his face.
Did you ever have any Bozo the Clowns in your market?
We didn't have a live one. You know, I know that was one of those ones that was syndicated.
Yep.
Count Gore Duvall, who was the horror host of DC with Creature Feature, he was the local Bozo in the DC market. But we saw the canned Bozos. We didn't have a live Bozo.
We had a live Bozo, and they would invite all kinds of kids, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts to come. And he would do his thing. Now, that was in an era of television where we didn't have delay. And some little Cub Scout in the middle of this Bozo routine, yelled out a profanity to him.
Oh, wow.
And Bozo went, "Whoa, Nelly, let's go to a commercial." But we didn't have delay, and then they took the little Cub Scout out and chased him away.
Oh, wow.
And that
little Boy Scout is the head of standards and practices at ABC.
Yeah, he probably is. Let's go to Bobby in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, George, I just want to thank you. Coast to Coast is the most to most. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that.
It is the most. It is the best entertainment value that radio has to offer.
Right on. Hey, Mr. Lobo, I just wanted to get your opinion on some of your favorite British sci-fi films.
British sci-fi films? I like They Came from Outer Space, where the guy had the plate in his head, and that helped him defeat the aliens. I remember enjoying that.
I love the British hosts with that accent. You're so cool.
Quatermass experiment. Really enjoyed all the Quatermass.
Bobby, how about you? What was your favorite?
Well, I was going to say one of the most obscure ones is a classic from 1936. It's a classic in its genre. It's called Things to Come.
Oh, yeah, 1936, Things to Come, absolutely. You know what, I did not know that was British. I would have said that in a heartbeat. I love H.G. Wells. Invisible Man is another favorite. Things to Come is amazing. And it's probably one of our first apocalyptic movies. I mean, it actually shows, you know, a post-apocalypse movie, characters like you see in Road Warrior, you know, people who piece together outfits out of whatever. And then it's got the very high style, you know, Hugo Gernsback, you know, Jetsons kind of futuristic cities in it as well. It's an amazing film.
Boy, the Brits have a weird sense of humor, don't they? Remember
Absolutely.
Benny Hill and shows like that?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yeah. Absolutely. Bobby, thanks for the call. Let's go to Marie in Palm Desert, California, on the wild card line. Go ahead, Marie.
Yes, hello, Mr. Norrie and Mr. Lobo.
Greetings, madame.
Yeah, thank you. Well, listen, let me tell you this. This is a good story. I'm 63 now, but I won't forget the Chiller series. I was around 8 or 9 years old, and my parents were out, and I sat in front of my small TV, black and white TV, and on would come Chiller, and it would say, "It's 5 o'clock. And it's time for Chiller." And the blood would slowly leak down the screen in black and white. Well, even in black and white, I knew it was blood.
That's still
now,
scary.
Was this a New York market?
What no, market? This was in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, Los Angeles. Wow, okay. Yeah, there was various different Chiller, I guess, was a common, you know, obviously term that they would wrap films with. So this was the Chiller of L.A. Wonderful. And around what time, what time period are we talking about?
Well, I'm 63 now, and I was about 8 or 9 years old then. So
okay.
we're looking at, you know, like...
Early days of television.
Early 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
And that night, The Beast with Five Fingers, or The Crawling Hand, was on. And I was absolutely petrified and horrified because my parents were gone. You know, they went out, and they weren't going to be coming home for a while. So anyway, after it was over, I jumped into bed, and I woke up, and there was a scratching under my bed. Well, you know what? I thought I was going to die. I pulled the covers over my head, and I was under there for, it seemed like hours, and I was sweating like crazy. I couldn't stand it any longer, and finally, I jumped out of the bed. I ran out in the street screaming bloody murder. The neighbors, of course, you know, grabbed me, and just as my parents were pulling up into the driveway, well, guess what? I wasn't allowed to watch Chiller anymore.
I love that. Thanks for that story.
The Crawling Hand. Cool. Boy, that one got me bad, too. I think when I was 5 or 6, I saw The Crawling Hand, and I just got the bedwetting nightmares for a week.
Those shows did scare us a lot.
Oh, sure. Because when you're a kid, you know, fantasy and reality, it's you're not quite, you haven't got all figured out what's real and what's not yet.
You know what's also interesting? We did all this, Mr. Lobo, without social networking. We didn't have Twitter and Facebook and the internet and text messages. We didn't have any of that. We just had what we did.
and the schoolyard, you know. I mean, everybody on Monday morning, everybody was talking, oh, did you watch Creature Features? Did you watch Chiller? Did you watch Shock Theater? You know, did you see what the guy did? Did you see the guy with no head? Did you see the... And that thing, it was better than any social network in the world. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, for mouth to mouth, I mean, the popularity of those shows had the kind of numbers... You know, those shows were enormously popular. I mean, enormous, enormous. I mean, people think TV shows and movies are popular today. They don't have the numbers that those older shows had. The newer shows have. They always count in the money. You know, they always do the box office receipts. They don't count how many people actually watch those movies.
And by the way, when you talk about M.T. Graves, Charlie Baxter, he was an anchor person down in the Miami area and was doing this too. So he was having a great time.
A lot of them were. A lot of them were either the staff announcer or the sportscaster or the whatever. And this was like a little side work. I mean, when I worked at News 10 in Sacramento, KXTV, you know, I just worked in the production department and, you know, it was part of my duties at the TV station was putting on the black suit and showing the spooky movies.
He died at the age of 82.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess we all have to go sometime.
He had been living in Tennessee in a nursing home when he passed.
Finally escaped the dungeon, I guess. Yeah,
died of heart failure. But you know what? I bet these shows kept him going for a long, long time.
Absolutely, and he had a lot of damn fun.
I wonder if they watch old clips of themselves.
Will you do that? I did a lot of stuff with Bob Wilkins. Do I watch clips of myself?
Yeah.
Sadly, I do, and I laugh because I forget how funny I am. But when we used to do revival shows with Bob Wilkins had Alzheimer's terribly last years of his life, and we would do these revival shows, and he would kind of almost snap out of it briefly, you know, because he was so those connections started happening when he started seeing pictures of the monsters and pictures of himself doing the show. It kind of brought him back to those days when he was the king of late nights.
Let's go to PJ in Washington State. Hi, PJ. Go ahead.
Hi there. Right now I'm living a life that is the stuff of these monster movies. I work in a guard shack at a gated community with a tribal cemetery at the end of my road.
Oh, wow.
I'm the first one that's going to go when the apocalypse occurs. I grew up in Seattle. I grew up in Seattle, and we were blessed with a show called Nightmare Theater with The Count, played by Joe Tuohy, who was a producer of a local show for our...
I've seen him, yeah. The classic vampire guy. I think he has a sash, right?
Yeah, he had, and he was like the incompetent vampire, like the lid of the coffin would slam on his fingers when he was getting into it and stuff.
Bumbling
like that.
Vampire.
And it's kind of fun because I'm an author myself, and so I enjoy... This is really in my wheelhouse, this tonight's show, so thank you very much.
And horror hosts are always funny. They're almost never scary, actually. You know, a lot of times they're scary when you're a kid, but they're always funny.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're doing. I mean, I started watching Svengoolie more recently, but and I will definitely look up your stuff now that I've...
Insomnia.
PJ, do you have any books out there you want to mention?
Well, yeah, actually, I authored my first one is a sci-fi action comedy called Phoenix Flight, Rise of the Phoenix Flight, and a sequel will be out shortly. I'm actually working on the sequel when I'm not letting people into a gated community.
Great. How do people find your books?
I'm the best kept secret on Amazon. My last name is Creelman, Creelman. If you search Phoenix Flight Creelman, you'll find the first one, and then the second one should be out shortly.
All right, good.
Writing runs in my family. Actually, my great-great-granduncle wrote the screenplay for the original King Kong, James Creelman.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, so
King
that... this is right in my wheelhouse.
What did they pay him for that?
Probably, they were cranking out like a movie a week back then, so probably very little. You know, the RKO and, you know, all those old monster movies back in the 30s, you know, that, you know, he also wrote like the script for The Most Dangerous Game. I mean, nothing that, you know, reached my pockets as a
that's right heir, but, the big inheritance didn't come your way, huh?
It didn't, but I still, you know, every time I still get like a moment of pride every time.
That's,
you know,
that's worth a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, PJ, thank you. Good luck with your work.
Most
and your book.
Dangerous Game, it just seems like it was like the most remade storyline. You know, every other TV show had that premise of people being hunted, you know.
So what does the future hold for Mr. Lobo? What's next?
Well, you know, I've been doing roles in horror movies. You know, I've been in Plan 9, and I'm wearing another one called Midnight Show that's coming out next year by Newt Wallen. And I'm also making new episodes of Cinema Insomnia. And I have a whole TV station to run for Roku. And I'm having a time of my life and picking out old movies and finding arcane shows and working with people from Troma and Church of the Subgenius and all these wackos who've got content and just having a blast.
All right. Now, most horror or sci-fi hosts always had some kind of saying or verbiage or something. Do you have that?
I do.
What is it?
They're not bad movies, just misunderstood.
And do you, like, go, or anything like that?
I can do a maniacal laugh. I go insane every once in a while.
I love it. And what do you do on Halloween?
I lock the doors and turn the lights off and pretend that I'm not home. No, that's not true. Normally, I end up hosting a movie show somewhere, you know, Alamo Draft House or something.
Are you ever live on television, or is it all taped now?
I've done a few live ones. I actually, with the streaming stuff going, I actually want to start doing them live. I think that would be, I would add a lot of energy to it. But I also do live events. Like, I host Blobfest every year, which is in Phoenixville, where they film the movie The Blob. And it's actually, we actually run out of the theater. You know, in the movie, the blob gets loose in the theater. Well, I get call the audience to up to their feet, and we all run out the front door into the street, and then the fire department comes and blasts the doors with the CO2. It's a wonderful event.
All right, my friend, you be well, and let's keep in touch, okay?
Absolutely, George. I love being on the program, and I love your show. And you know, you are keeping it real for all the spooky folks and the night people.
You're the best, Mr. Lobo. Up next, couple hours of open lines on Coast to Coast AM.